Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 13, 2021. We need global warming in the heart. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, released a report on widespread, rapid, and intensifying global warming. The report says that in the coming decades, climate change will increase in all regions. Extreme heat waves, floods and droughts, flooding of coastal cities due to rising sea level, and so on. The researchers claim that climate change is the result of human activity and call for urgent measures to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and air pollution. I, however, think that the main factor of all adverse changes in the environment is man's egoistic attitude to inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature and to people. There is no other reason. We can check, limit the amount of fuel we are burning and confirm that this does not change anything. Then we will start looking for other reasons, going through them one by one. But we do not have time for all these checks in order to find out that this is not the reason at all. We need to make the only change that depends on us. There is no more dynamic factor than the relationship between people. Let's correct the relationship between us, and see how it will affect the climate and balance everything. Although there is no direct connection between one and the other, if we correct our relationship, we will almost immediately feel a positive effect. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah says, and I have no reason not to believe it. No limitation of greenhouse gas emissions and other similar measures will help. This will not affect the warming in any way. We are like little children who think that they can influence nature with their childish games. There is nothing we can do. One release of gases from a volcano into the atmosphere will cancel all our efforts to limit the burning of fuel. These are not serious measures, and they are just in order to report that we have done everything possible. In fact, to influence the equilibrium of the climate and bring Earth into balance is possible only from a human degree. Changes at the inanimate, vegetative and animate degrees cannot help in this. We must balance the relations between us, good and evil between people, and reach a good state between everyone. As it is written, they helped everyone his friend, we all are comrades and brothers, who live on one small planet, for which we are all responsible. We just need to start thinking this way, and this will calm all the forces of nature. No other measures will help. All of nature is in balance, except for man because of his hatred for others. Each of us treats inanimate nature, plants, animals, and people egotistically and with hatred, in order to squeeze from others maximal benefit for himself personally without considering others at all. We must come to a balanced state when we take care of others as ourselves. After all, we are on the earth in a closed ecological system, and if we start thinking about everyone, we will balance all the forces of nature. We see that animals devour each other. However, they act according to their natural instinct without free will, and therefore, nothing else is expected from them. They do not disturb the balance in nature by eating each other. No predator will kill unnecessarily if it is not hungry, unlike a person who destroys everything around him on a whim. Of course, a person should treat inanimate nature, plants, and animals in a balanced way, that is, use them only to the extent necessary for life. Yet, the main thing is the relationship between people because this is the highest degree. Today, we are wasting natural resources unnecessarily. We must use nature in the way it happens on the inanimate, vegetative, and animate degrees where each takes only what is vital from nature. Then it will not be considered that we are harming nature. I am allowed to use inanimate nature, plants, and animals for my food to the extent that is necessary for life. Just like they use each other. This will not lead to any cataclysms in nature because we will not bring nature out of balance. The Commission's research in climate change cannot be objective since they are interested in continuing this process. The more cataclysms there are in nature, the more necessary these experts will be and the more funding they will receive. Doctors are interested in having more patients. Committees against anti-Semitism are interested in having more anti-Semitism, and so on. After all, everything is based on the egoism of a person who is looking for ways to raise his importance in the eyes of others. Therefore, anti-Semites and Zionists help each other with their activities, and this is how all of humanity acts in everything. My neighbor, who runs a car repair shop, prays for more rain because there are more accidents in the rain. What will the doctors do if there are no patients? It is clear that they do not want epidemics and increased workload, but it is also not in their interests to completely eliminate diseases. This is how it is in everything. What will the government committees do if there is no friction between the countries? Everything is based on an evil egoistic inclination, and we need to understand how to correct and balance it. Every committee to combat extreme changes wants to ensure that these changes continue. We can see how the importance of environmental committees has grown over the past 10 years. Now it will begin to decline because we are discovering that we are not able to control the forces of nature through the measures they propose, by reducing the amount of fuel burned and so on. The world has begun to realize that it exists in a global system. The coronavirus has shown us that we live in a global world that requires us to take global responsibility. We will feel global blows and global interdependence and understand that we need global responsibility. The Earth is one system, very delicate, vulnerable, and closed. And we bring it out of balance. From a conversation with journalists, August 10, 2021. Gold medal for the coach. At the just-ended Olympic Games in Tokyo, there was a very touching moment when an Israeli athlete Linoy Ashram, who won first place in rhythmic gymnastics competitions, took off the gold medal she received and hung it around the neck of her coach. And in fact, this is not surprising, because a coach for an athlete is like a father or mother, everything depends on the coach. Without him, an athlete is only raw material in the hands of a sculptor. The coach makes him a champion, and, of course, the medal rightfully belongs to the coach. The athlete feels that it is the coach who took first place. And the coach feels that the athlete sacrificed himself to faithfully follow the instructions of the coach, and this is their joint success. There is usually a very close, warm connection between a coach and an athlete, and it cannot be otherwise. It is said that a person is jealous of everyone except for his son and his student. After all, a real teacher puts everything he has into the student, and the student's achievements indicate the teacher's skill. The medal is awarded not to the coach, but to the athlete, but it does not matter. After all, the teacher's reward is not in a medal, but in an inner feeling, in reaching a new degree. If I ever achieve high achievements in spirituality, it will be only thanks to my teacher. I can still feel him guiding me. I really hope that my students, whom I coach for spiritual ascent, will reach such high levels that the Creator will be revealed in each of them, and they will also turn into great teachers for all mankind. I see in the students the continuation of the path. The student becomes the hands of the teacher, his mind. Everything that I want to achieve in life, I bring to my students, and they continue to pave the way. From CAB TV's Look from the Inside, August 9, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, National Lazy Day, what a great idea. Tuesday this week, August 10th, to be exact, was National Lazy Day, an unofficial holiday that celebrates the inner couch potato, according to the website Time and Date. We are taught to despise laziness and admire diligence, but the current state of the world is a direct result of our excessive hard work. Maybe if we took a break once in a while, we'd give Earth a break, as well, and all of us would be a little safer and calmer. Considering our current attitude toward the world, laziness is good for us, and for everyone else. Since everything we do is for ourselves, amassing wealth, power, possessions, and preferably at the expense of others. The less we do, the better for everyone, eventually also for ourselves. In fact, if we could impose a month-long break on all of humanity, everything would suddenly blossom. Birds would sing, the weather would calm, and there would be no floods, no fires, and no wars, if only we could take a break for a few weeks. We need to start being accountable to nature and understand that we're the only harmful element in it, and a very potent one at that. This is why we must impose that pause on ourselves. Because of our harmful nature, our sages instruct in the Talmud, sit and do nothing, better, I over 100a. Doing nothing doesn't mean we have to sit on the couch all day. We can take the children to the beach, go for a walk, do something in the garden, etc., each according to one's circumstances. The point is not to produce, manufacture, since this is where we harm others and nature. If we want to participate in more productive activities, we must first contemplate why we want to do them, and mainly who will benefit from them. Beyond tending to the basic sustenance of ourselves and our families, everything we do that is excessive is also detrimental. Therefore, we must reflect on why we want to do what we want to do, who stands to benefit from it, and who stands to lose. If we find that in the end, it is a self-centered act, it's best that we avoid it. But if it is in order to help others, then we are more than welcome to work on it as hard and as long as we can. That is, if we can invert the intention of our actions, the beneficiary of our efforts from ourselves to others, it will be a blessing to the world and to us. Any other motivation to act will lead to negative results. In that case, it is better to be lazy and avoid unnecessary work. My new article on LinkedIn, Being an Environmentalist Pays Well. A recently released report by the Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change, IPCC, states that human influence has warmed the climate at a rate that is unprecedented in at least the last 2,000 years. Human-induced climate change, the report asserts, is already affecting many weather and climate extremes in every region across the globe. Evidence of observed changes in extremes such as heat waves, heavy precipitation, droughts, and tropical cyclones, and, in particular, their attribution to human influence, has strengthened since the last report in 2013. This summer, there is not a region in the world that has not suffered because of the changing climate. According to the IPCC scientists, the horrible future they have been predicting is already happening, and from here on, it will be all downhill unless we do as they say. With all due respect, I think that cutting emissions, switching to renewable energy sources, prohibiting the use of plastic, and all the measures that the distinguished panel is suggesting will not improve our situation one bit. It will only create well-paying jobs for people who make a career out of telling us off. It is not even a matter of the panel's inability to impose its suggestions on countries. It is that the remedy they are prescribing is the wrong remedy, since their diagnosis is wrong from the very beginning. We can test their suggestions, burn less fossil fuels, produce less plastic and so forth, but by the time we recognize the futility of their ideas, we will be much worse off than we are today, and things are already quite dire. Instead of wasting time, resources, and lives, we should work on the only element that we know is malfunctioning, people, or more precisely, relationships among people. Even if we do not see the connection between the exploitative nature of our relationships, our exploitation of nature, and the growing instability of the climate, it is still worth trying to experiment with connection, because 1, it will improve our relationships, which is a definite plus, and 2, we haven't found another remedy. In fact, we are so uncaring that we cannot bring ourselves to experiment with restraining the use of fossil fuels. Since we insist on overconsumption, environmentalists suggest we use renewable energy sources. But this is completely useless. Also, we already see that our planet is a single system where everything affects everything else. We also see that everything is balanced in nature and runs in its course, except for us. In other words, we understand that the problem lies only with us. Now we need to understand the depth of the problem, that it isn't that we are burning the wrong kind of fuel, but that we are injecting our volatile temper into the system that sustains us, planet Earth. Nothing in nature fights. Animals hunt or struggle over prominence in order to reproduce. But once an animal has eaten and is not in the midst of mating season, it is quiet and peaceful. Conversely, we are ever belligerent, always looking for the next peak to climb, and the next climber to throw off the mountain on our way to the top. Since our species is at the top of the pyramid, our negative mode of thinking spoils all other levels of nature and upsets their balanced and harmonious existence. Succinctly, every problem, from climate catastrophes through earthquakes, to plagues and wars, stems from the corrupt human nature. Fix humanity, and you have fixed the world. By fixing, I mean fixing our relationships. If we change our attitudes toward each other from hostile to caring, we will change the whole of society. Instead of wishing to exploit others, we will seek to support them. Instead of wishing for other people's failure, we will wish for their success, and they for ours. Because of our positive relation toward each other, we will stop depleting natural resources since that would be unfair to other people and to future generations. Likewise, we will not want to extinguish wildlife, cut down forests, pollute the air, water, and soil because these would be detrimental to others. Soon, we will realize that we want to use only what we really need and dedicate the rest of our time and energy to supporting, encouraging, and nurturing others. In this way, by caring for each other, we will heal society and restore the balance in the climate and the soil. Admittedly, caring for others does not pay well to those who make fighting climate change their career. They will tell us that we should look elsewhere for solutions, and not at our relationships, but they will be wrong and misleading. If we want a good future, we should insist on caring for each other's future, and then our own will be secured as well. Michael Leitman, on Quora, Are Cities the Future? Thanks to technological development, humanity will not be concentrated in big cities, but just the opposite, it will expand outwardly. People will be able to work at home, and they will also have consumer products delivered to their homes. The house will be the bedroom as well as the workplace, and generally the place where we spend the greater part of our lives. The notions of the city center and downtown will disappear from the world, and our cities will acquire an expansive and balanced form. Also, I very much hope that as soon as humanity understands that human interrelationships need to be altruistic and mutually considerate, then correspondingly, cities will also reform. Everything will be for the person's benefit, in order for the person to take care of society, and for society to take care of each person. This will lead to very big changes in city structures. Based on a Q&A with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on September 9, 2006. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. My new article on LinkedIn, The Hidden Purpose of Online Antisemitism. The internet and social media in particular have rapidly become the most widespread and visceral field for anti-Semites. The five major social networking platforms in the world, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, ignored 84% of reports submitted to them about anti-Semitic posts, according to a new study by the Center for Countering Digital Hate, a British-American monitoring organization. But the creators of the study turned everything from head to toe. These networks have never tried to address anti-Jewish content on their platforms. On the contrary, this type of posts are good for them, they evoke a response from the audience. Anti-Semitic materials get feedback, create lively engagement and debates around them. They generate a chain reaction of public interest. So anti-Semitic content is given a free pass. Anyone can go ahead and write whatever they want to stimulate hateful dialogue. Contrary to how it may seem, anti-Semitic posts work for us, as an auxiliary force against us. Anti-Semites help Zionists. One might ask, how is that possible? I can attest myself that if I had not felt in my own skin anti-Jewish rejection and animosity in Russia, I would not have immigrated to Israel. That is why I thank the anti-Semites. I owe them. When I was a young student scientist and began working at a medical institute, I could not progress anywhere in the field and facility only because I was Jewish. Whenever I forgot my identity, anti-Semites made sure to remind me of it and told me straight to my face, "It's not for you. We cannot give you permission to work in this lab because it is secret." In this way, I was repeatedly taught that Russia was not my place, and this pushed me to emigrate to the land of Israel. Social networks are a great arena for development. Not in them, but with their help. Instead of fighting hatred against Jews on social media like Don Quixote following an impossible quest and struggling to fix what has no fix in that way, we must accept the anti-Semitic pressure as a gift that propels us forward to wake up and be the way Jews should be. What does that mean? As Jews, we need to remember that we are not the weakest link in humanity. On the contrary, we are the strongest of all because we received the wisdom of connection to fulfill a specific spiritual role for the sake of the whole world. Our role is to pass on this wisdom to the entire human race. In ancient times, we brought spiritual social laws to all of mankind. All the nations of the world drew from these laws for their well-being, and now we must strive to return to that status. If we hold on to the original principles of the Israeli nation, those based on the laws of the supreme power, rules of good and complementary connection between people over instinctive egoism, we will be able to provide the medicine to cure our sick society in general. But if we insist on holding to shreds of mixed ideas of communism, socialism, Marxism and other isms, which have no power to lift humanity above the egoism inherent in it, then we will continue to get confused and drift away from our source. We need to bring love into the world, not fleeting love as we know it, which has no roots, not artificial love like in pop culture, but true love from the heart, one capable of overcoming our evil instinct. The supreme power is behind everything in reality, including anti-Semitism. So we have nothing to address directly to those who write against Jews, nor should we admire the abusers and promoters of offensive content. We need to admit to the existence of and admire the force at work in reality. We must take the tenets of the people of Israel, like love will cover all crimes and love your neighbor as yourself, and implement them between us, and begin to present them to the world, introduce them to everyone. When this treasure becomes public domain and is at everyone's disposal, anti-Semitism on the web and everywhere else will cease. A meal, coming closer to the Creator. All the elements of a Kabbalistic meal are specifically created so as not to detach a person from thoughts about his spiritual purpose, so that he understands where and with whom he is. Why in this way he is attuned to the upper world, to the Creator, and why he should not break away from it. All the blessings, conventions, and laws are necessary only for a person to constantly feel in every action and every thought that he is in the field of the Creator. When he begins to feel this field, then he will do it all in a natural way. The work itself, the efforts themselves, should show a person that with their help he can come closer to the Creator all the time. No one forces him to do them. As a person begins to understand their meaning, he chooses for himself one or another level of observing these blessings. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, July 9, 2021. Mixing the properties of the Creator and creation. Question: what did the mixing of the properties of the Creator and creation lead to? Answer: at a certain stage of development, the creation only received, And then there was a mixing of the altruistic properties of the creator with the egoistic properties of the creation, which caused the breaking. That is, the desire that received for the sake of others to pass through itself all the highest pleasure, began to receive for itself without passing it to others. In our world, the breaking is manifested in the fact that today any person can not only receive, but also give only with an egoistic intention. But thanks to this, there is a connection between us. If everyone only received, there would be no connection between people at all, like between small children who do not understand, do not feel each other. In order to take something or give something, you need to feel the others. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, July 23, 2021. When will the Messiah come? Comment. Our viewer Gleaner's Area writes, Michael Leitman, I am very grateful for your instructive, informative programs. I am interested in one question, and no one else will answer it except you. Who is the Messiah? Will the Messiah come soon? If he comes, will there be changes on our planet? Why are so many people waiting for him? Who is he? My response, the Messiah is not a person. It is a special force of nature that pulls us out. Therefore, it is called Messiah from the word Moshch, to pull out. It pulls us out of our egoism, thus brings us closer to each other and helps us create a better atmosphere, a better society, better families, and so on. This positive force acts even now, but in a very small capacity. However, we are getting closer to the state when all of us will think and hope that this force will be manifested more. Question: despite the fact that we are egoists, this is a bit contradictory. He pulls us out of egoism, and egoists suddenly think, let the Messiah come. Why do they think that? Answer: in principle, we theoretically agree to exit egoism, and no one wants to admit that he is an egoist. Therefore, if the Messiah pulls us out, it will be like the current pandemic. Some kind of a virus comes into the world and annoys us, until we wish to free ourselves from this egoism. He must show us that this is necessary. No one in the world feels that this is what hinders them. Question: he must demonstrate to us that this is evil. Will he then pull us out according to our request? Answer: gradually, according to our consent, he will pull us out. Question: what is above this line? Answer: there is the same life there, only not egoistic. Instead, you live for the other, and everyone lives for the other. This is a completely different system of relationships, connections, and values. Then everything is fine. Question: what kind of system of values? Does the concept of love exist there? Answer: there is nothing else besides providing service to the other. A person feels his freedom, his destiny in this. Question: does it mean that you do not even think to grab everything for yourself? Answer: the thought is there. However, if a person rises above this, he has great pleasure. If there is no thought to grab, then what will be the pleasure from bestowal and love? Therefore, to grab remains. Question: does ascent above your nature bring great pleasure? Is this what a person will want to come to? Answer: yes. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, July 8, 2021. Repeating the stages of correction. And Joshua rent his clothing and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Woe, O Lord God, why have you at all brought this people over the Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to cause us to perish? Would that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Prophets, Joshua, 7:6-7:7. Joshua sees his mission is impossible. He cannot do anything. Therefore, he says to the Creator, You have given us all the opportunities, but they are impossible to implement. So similarly, the children of Israel complained earlier, "It would have been better if we had stayed in Egypt." Or as Moses said, "Why did you give me such a people?" The same thing is repeated all the time. From CapTV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, July 12, 2021. How to Feel the Creator, Part 2. The Spiritual Basis of Man. But attaining its emanator is a deficiency toward itself, and this is its being. Baal-ha-Sulam, A Sage's Fruit, Volume 2, From My Flesh I Shall See God. The attainment of the Creator is originally embedded in the soul. A person yearns not for comprehending itself in life, but for attaining the root of life, the Creator. There is a record of spiritual information inside us, called Reshimo, which is revealed from time to time and demands its fulfillment. This is man's spiritual basis. This is the reason we feel the urge to know everything. Who am I? What am I living for? Where am I headed? Etc. A person cannot remain indifferent to these questions, because if he does, then who is he and what is he living for? It is very important for him to discover his origin and destiny, at least the starting and ending point of his earthly existence. Otherwise, we simply live as beasts, and even worse than beasts, because they do not have all these questions. The question is how to realize our internal impulses and find answers to them. Here, the wisdom of Kabbalah comes to our aid and explains everything very clearly. Later, if we wish to achieve revelation, we have to make serious efforts. That is, it feels itself as an emanated being. All its events aim toward it, and this is the deficiency that it feels, that it will be able to attain its emanator. The higher the soul, the more strongly it yearns for that. Even from the people who come to us to study, one can see how strong, stable, and consistent their yearning is, or, on the other hand, how inconsistent they are and can easily leave everything and go. This is the first point. Second, a person is tested by being given all kinds of obstacles in life, and he shows to himself and to the upper forces that develop him the extent to which he is ready to stay on track, to keep developing, and has no intention of giving in to or to follow any corporeal interruptions. From CabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, June 23, 2019. Partial Manifestations of Egoism. Zohar for All, Chaya Sarah, Item 74, All the deeds of wicked Balaam were from the side of impurity. All the villains, Balaam, Balak, Pharaoh, Haman, and others are the result of the serpent. The serpent is their common property, and they are all partial manifestations of it. In the beginning of his deeds he took a serpent from among the serpents and tied it before him. He split the head of the serpent and took out its tongue. Then he took certain herbs and burned them all and made a single incense out of them. Then he took the head of that serpent and split it into four sides and turned it into a single incense, item 77. Making incense is making the most of your egoism. Balaam is a property that pulls us to be so selfish that we do not even know what it is. Only as we climb the spiritual levels do we begin to feel it. In fact, everything that is written in the book of Zohar talks about people who are already spiritually ascending and feeling these problems. Around it, he drew a single circle and would say things and do other deeds until he drew upon himself the spirits of impurity, which informed him what was needed. And he acted by their words, according to what they knew from the side of that serpent of the firmament, item 78. The task of Balaam is the same as that of the snake. All the negative characters in the Bible are intended only to continue the same work, that is, to come to a person at the right time and sting him with their egoism. The fall of a person into egoism shakes him up. From this state, he begins to see a distant goal and to rush toward it. Therefore, he needs such a shaking, what is called the awareness of evil. From CabTV's The Power of the Book of Zohar, number 16.